Little Women, a podcast about Joe March, the trans man trying to make it as a writer in Concord, Massachusetts in the 1860s.
We're talking about the 1933 version of the film starring Katharine Hepburn as Joe. Little Women. I'm Joe.
And I'm Maggie.
And we're talking about the 1933 version of the film starring Katharine Hepburn as Joe.
Okay, first impression, one sentence, one observation. What did you notice about this movie?
One sentence?
Just say one thing. What did you notice?
I'm a verbose person.
Okay. Well, you wasted your sentence.
I would say over-feminization.
I was going to say sideburns.
I think both are valid. Both are quite valid.
Yeah.
There was some very serious hairlines as part of
there were some intense
the
makeup
film.
Choices on the gentleman.
Or
quite a bit of makeup.
Yes. A lot. In the eyebrows.
But over feminization, that sounds more like you're queering it. So
let's do that.
Queer it up.
I mean, I just felt like the way that Joe was portrayed was so gross.
It was gross.
You know, and I must say that I've seen this version before, but not recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very long time ago that I've seen this version. And I read in the annotated version in the introduction that they used the same screenplay as the 1949
which
version.
Which is your favorite
which
version.
Which is my top absolute
which
favorite
I have never seen
version.
Any except the 1994.
Okay, that one's great too. So I was like, oh, well, it's the same screenplay.
You were expecting it would be basically the same movie.
Well, I was expecting to at least well up.
What happened?
I didn't well up.
I didn't well up either.
No, I thought that it was over-dramatized.
When Beth died, I didn't even...
No!
I didn't feel a thing.
I had no feelings. Peanut Gallery is having hand motions.
Peanut Gallery is having Oh, I also want to give you a lime count. So we're... Come over and introduce yourself, Peanut Gallery. What do we have in the studio today?
Yeah. Hi, this is Galen.
This is Asher clocking in two limes.
I'm Sarah, and I didn't have any limes.
No limes.
Yeah, we want it to be clear that means that Asher is voluntarily eating another pickled lime after the original pickled lime challenge.
He's going home with some in a paper bag.
Anyway, do you think they portrayed Joe as overly feminine?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It was like they were really
the
trying to...
Yeah.
The hoop skirts?
I mean, I think they may have had to wear hoop skirts.
I don't know that was necessarily period. Were they wearing...
I was wondering a lot about what... Because I was thinking, like, how different the dresses were in this version than in the other version that I've seen.
Yeah, they definitely didn't
probably
have hoops.
Probably neither of them is period. I don't know.
Not in the 94 version. They definitely did not have hoops.
Really?
Yes. I've seen that version about a million times.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
How did they get their skirts so big then?
Tulle. Tulle.
It was just tulle.
Tulle.
When was tulle
and layers.
Invented?
I don't know. Sarah, when was tulle invented?
I'll Google it real
yeah.
quick.
Okay. Sarah's
going
to Google it.
Google team.
Yeah, team Google in the back. Sarah.
1807
was
tulle
the...
Tulle was invented.
Tulle, definitely. They had tulle.
Okay, so that would have been an option.
For sure.
Tulle's so scratchy.
To fluff them up. Yeah, it is kind of scratchy.
Tulle.
Can you figure out hoop skirts?
When were hoop skirts a thing?
Yes. Okay, Sarah.
1856 to 1869.
So hoop skirts would have been
the hoop era.
Would have been just on the way out,
just going out. Yeah,
they would have been kind of like, they showed up.
Well, and they're wearing hoops throughout. I also felt like
that's true that they get older.
The passage of time is really unclear in this version.
Yeah, which made for some gross stuff where adults were behaving like children, and it was really creepy.
Yeah, 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 it was quite creepy, yeah.
The fashion choices.
Let's go back to fashion. I felt like the March family is poor, and they don't really talk about that very much.
That was not made.
It was,
disgusting.
I mean, except for, like, kind of with the breakfast.
Oh, no, there was the whole, like... We used to be
rich.
How rich did we used to be?
But then they never really touched anything else on it.
And I was super grossed out by Amy at school. Like, that's way worse than Book Amy. The way that Amy at school is, like, bragging to her friends specifically about how important her family is and how, like, debasing it is for her to have to associate with the people she's currently talking to.
It's true. Yeah. So I felt like there was far too many costume changes. I get the impression that
Joe has to wear that dress to the party because that's like his only fancy dress.
Right, that's his only dress, and it used to be Meg's, and he already burned it and all this stuff.
Right.
You know, but there was like a bajillion different dresses all the time.
I mean, I definitely you notice the class difference between them and the Lawrences the first time that Joe goes into Laurie's house.
Sure.
And part of that for me was the way that Laurie was wearing a suit and tie. But to be fair, I guess there was no, like, men's fashion in the March household being shown, and there was no women's fashion in the Lawrence household, so I don't know whether
that's
I was
true.
That. It seemed like the Lawrences were more dressed up, but that could have been unfair.
That's true. Interesting. I never even really recognized that there was all men in the Lawrence house and women. And
did father didn't even show up in this movie, huh?
He did. He came home from war and he was like, I have a surprise for you. And then Beth sort of zombie walked towards him.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was super creepy.
It was really creepy. The zombie walk was very... At first, when she first started getting up, I was like, oh, mate, I might get choked up because Beth is having a moment.
Yeah.
And then she started, really, I thought she was going to eat his brains. I mean, it was really...
The acting throughout this movie...
Horrible.
I think they must have had a different take, because it's like, Katharine Hepburn is, like, really famous.
Really famous.
It seemed like her strategy was just, like, lean back and quiver.
Yeah.
And, like, the hands would shake, and they'd be near her face. And
well,
then,
and also...
And her neck was so long, and she was just shaking.
She was doing a lot of lounging, especially towards the end. There was a lot of unnecessary lounging.
Maybe she just knows as a person that that's how she looks best.
Perhaps. Yeah.
To lounge.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, when she was like playing up Joe's Joe-ness, like, or whatever, however she saw Joe's Joe-ness, she was just acting ridiculous.
Yeah, it wasn't coming across boyish.
Well, and
she went into Lori's house and just like went bananas.
What the fuck was that?
Laura's house.
Was that
when they were fighting?
Oh.
Just right at the even before they started fighting, like when they're running around the house and like just like can't believe all your things, and it was just like bananas. Like yeah, I don't know.
And Joe was like saying too many words. Like, it seemed like he was supposed to be nervous.
Yeah.
I think he was just, like, sort of obnoxious and awkward.
Awkward.
I get that. But well, it was so overplayed.
I actually felt like Katharine Hepburn was trying to make Joe's voice lower in the first couple scenes of the film.
Well,
that it was, like, trying to make it like dude up the voice.
I caught that a couple times when it was when they were on their way to the dance. There was this moment when they're like coming down the stairs and Joe's talking about the dress and that thing and just be like, well, I'll do my best to not embarrass all of you.
Yeah, I wasn't into the portrayal. It didn't seem consistent. I didn't understand what Kevin Everett.
Well, and I'm trying to understand the time at which this came out and how that would be different and how that would therefore influence the interpretation, which is why I think they really femmed it up and they really tried to make it like, and they wrote in all of that fabricated shit about how Joe really is pining for Lori. That was
so
super
weird.
Gross.
Well, I mean, no, do you,
I didn't read
I was
it that
unclear
way.
On that. Yeah. I thought maybe it was just that Joe was feeling sad that like the friendship with Lori was damaged.
I got the impression that he was like regretting his rejection of Lori, and that's why like Bear was so excited at the end, and that's why like a lot
I
of the other stuff
I think Bear
was
supposed to read it that way, but I think we
I read it. No,
I absolutely did.
I absolutely did, and it pissed me off.
But Joe says like, "Oh, I don't love him any differently than I ever did."
Yeah. So, yeah, but there's a part when he's in New York that he's, like, clearly regretting.
It's because he feels shitty that Lori didn't come.
Yeah, but
because he's like, what the fuck? Lori doesn't even... I know what you mean.
I mean, I felt like... But it was so trumped up in this way that it was supposed to make Joe,
a
swoony little girl.
Which is not
which is so wrong for so many reasons.
Okay,
Sarah has something to say.
No, I completely agree with you because that was clearly like that friendship between those two people. That very like almost like genderless friendship. I'm not gonna say genderless friendship, but like it was not your typical friendship between a boy and a girl of that time. Mm-hmm. And they had a special relationship with that, and mourning the loss of that friendship because Lori became a man. And starting to get, like, having those romantic feelings, like, made the friendship something different, and then that friendship had to be lost. And I really felt like Joe was mourning that friendship very much. It never felt, to me anyway, that it was very much a, like, Because Joe kept saying, I don't want anything to change. I don't want anything to change. I don't want anything to change.
Yeah, he's and so then, wrong with that.
Yeah, and then the friendship, which was clearly very, very important, is lost. And Joe didn't do anything to make that happen, to lose that friendship. It just happened. And that seems to be what the sadness was. And for your friend, like your really important friendship, for him to not even come see you when you're in New York, like... Of course you're gonna mourn that. You're gonna pine for that friendship.
It doesn't seem like a romantic pining at all. I would agree that that is how I feel more about the book, but not necessarily this portrayal in the film. I felt like in this portrayal of the film, it was more trying to trump up that Joe is a swoony girl, and that Joe is like missing something and now regrets that. She denied him and blah, 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 instead of it being about the friendship, because I don't really think it's made clear the friendship part.
So I could kind of see where you're coming from, because there was this, like, oh, I've gone and ruined it, like, I ruined everything line, as though Joe were, like, taking some responsibility. But I think that that is totally in keeping with what Sarah is saying, that, like, Joe is just like, I don't know how to be a person in this world that I have to live in, and I like, you know, like Joe just wanted everything to stay the same, and it's just like, oh, I fucked, I don't know, like, you blame yourself.
Yeah, it seemed even more like Joe was wanting to be more of a girl in that moment, and saying like, if I was like a girl like everybody else,
I couldn't do
then
it.
I would love him the way he saw that in this film. I haven't read Little Women in fucking forever, so I'm not even pulling this from my memory of the book. This was my first interaction with Little Women in ages and ages and ages. So, yeah, that's...
And held up.
I got that from her. I agree with you about her overacting and the hands and the neck. It was all about her neck. But her neck in that moment said to me that she was...
She's a very expressive neck.
Yeah, very expressive neck. The neck said... Was that I'm sad about
talking?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sad. It's a podcast, you can't see the neck puppetry I'm doing, but
just know it's extensive.
No, yeah. Yeah, sad about the loss of this very meaningful friendship. I don't know. I might be projecting.
All right.
You might be projecting, but I don't agree.
The thing you were saying about the genderless friendship or whatever, the way that this friendship was sort of
not your typical of the time.
I was kind of disappointed by the portrayal. So in the book, their first meeting is at a party, and they're like, they sort of meet each other, like they're both hiding from the party, and they kind of like bump into each other by accident, and they have this, it's sort of like away from anyone else's eyes. And it was interesting to me that in this adaptation, they had their first meeting be this very formal, like...
No, it was Joe throwing snowballs at...
But then Joe gets invited in for tea.
Sure.
And then they're, like, sort of trying to do... Maybe it wasn't... It didn't succeed in being formal, but it was like they were sort of trying to obey the rules of polite society.
But then
where
they, like, randomly
like,
started
come?
Wrestling.
Yeah, they certainly...
Did that not happen in the book? That tea.
It does happen later,
but they're already friends.
They've been friends for a while. It's not when they first meet. The party that happened in this film happens first, but it's not hosted by Lori. Lori's also at the party, and Joe is at the party, and Meg. But the other two sisters don't even attend the party.
Would you say, I haven't read the book in a while, but would you say that it does the same function in that they are supposed to be behaving in a certain fashion according to...
To me, it feels different because it's a way, it's like sort of hidden. It's more like this to me feels Joe's mother and Lori's grandfather are sort of like watching. It feels different to me.
Well, and I felt like the way that they met and then the portrayal of Joe and Lori's friendship, I felt like was very superficial, very like it didn't go in depth at all, and they barely really even displayed.
You hardly
see
them actually interact.
And in the book and in several other versions of the film, they really more show that they do have more of a kindred to this. And in this film, it's like the only time you really show them being friends is that time when Lori's like creepily chasing her.
That was so, like, let's talk about that.
Through the forest, and it's like weird. And then
no,
and
Joe,
then I realize that they're like playing, and afterward Joe is laughing about it and everything, and he seemed to be fine.
But he tried to
kiss
Joe.
Right.
Lori,
he definitely was like
Joe.
Creeping on her.
It was gross.
Yeah. It was nasty. I didn't like that. So it didn't really feel like there was ever a time when in this film that they really showed that they were friends and that they did have any sort of closeness or emotional intimacy. It was more just like surface stuff, and like you, it didn't even seem like, you know, I know many times in the book they refer to Lori kind of as their brother,
yeah.
and it didn't even seem like that really so much at all. It was just kind of like he's this guy that comes over a lot, and like we know who he is, and he's going to laugh at me when I cut my hair.
I hate to make this comparison, but if you remember Little Women the musical,
how could I forget?
Which we saw together and inspired this podcast. In that, they just play it off as the entire time in the production we saw
that Lori's chasing her.
Lori has a crush on Joe, and Joe isn't into it.
Right.
And that, maybe there was a little bit of this in of that in this movie. Like, they didn't show as much of like a time before sexuality got involved where they were just
right.
friends.
Although
right.
even, I feel like at the very beginning when Joe's like, there's this guy who lives next door, like, it seemed like Joe, like, I feel like I was influenced by having read the book and thinking like, oh, Joe's thinking there's a guy it would be fun to be friends with
mm-hmm.
next door, but I feel like that's not how it was played. I feel
right.
like it was played like, oh, there's a guy next door, like, let me, like, wave at him and throw snowballs and, like,
right.
I don't know.
Sort
like,
of flirty. More,
it was,
like, fan
kind
of it
flirty.
Up. Yeah.
But, I don't know,
fan
maybe.
It up.
Although, like, Joe was also acting in all the ways you're not supposed to act. Right? Like, you know, all the rest of the girls were sort of horrified that
but
that
really,
he
didn't do very much. Besides, say,
right.
Christopher Columbus in excess.
And he
in
was,
excess.
It
That's
was
the
more.
The best swear word ever, by the way. Anyway.
He was more of a weirdo than, like, masculine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Right. Right.
It was, like, weird, awkward, which
rather than
I have
boyish.
To I have some identifying, like, like, as someone who grew up as a weird, awkward girl,
mm-hmm.
now doesn't identify as a girl.
Right.
I can sort of, it's interesting that it got played that way. But,
right.
Right. Isn't that interesting how, okay, I used to have this friend, and we used to talk about the awkward to gay spectrum, about how, like,
go on.
I feel bad saying this. But that, like, sometimes you would meet someone, and
as you're snuggling in now, and we're talking about awkward to gay.
And you'd
cozy on up.
It. I don't know. I don't have much more to say than that. That just, like, we'd
no,
meet people.
What does awkward
and
to
we'd
gay
be like,
mean?
Oh, you're on the awkward to gay spectrum. Like I'm not sure. Like, so it was sort of, like, specifically for, like, this
like,
is when we were in a very, like, female environment, and it was like, oh, you're not quite doing femininity, and I'm not yet sure how deliberate it is.
You mean about, like, female-assigned people?
Yeah, about female-assigned people. Like, I can tell, like, just in my, like, gut interaction with your, like, gender presentation, I feel like you're either not trying or you're not succeeding at, like, being a girl, and
there was air quotes.
There were air quotes around that being a girl. And, like, but not knowing where that person fell along the awkward to gay spectrum.
What, can you explain in
well,
more detail the awkward
like,
to gay spectrum?
I know, this is, like, probably a really terrible thing to say. I'm afraid that I'm being super fucked up. But, so, like, I have friends.
Hashtag problematic.
Hashtag problematic favorite.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we can cut this out if this is too terrible. So, like, don't you know people who are comfortably cis,
uh-huh.
like, female-assigned women.
Yep.
Who, like, the way other people read Joe as just, like, no, I, you know, I just like wearing cargo shorts and t-shirts, and I don't want to think about dressing up. I'm just not interested in, like,
sure.
performing femininity in that way.
My mom called it frumpy.
Sure.
Right.
But it's not like a, but they're comfortably cis people.
Sure. Well, and comfortably straight people?
And comfortably,
is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. Certainly the awkward to gay spectrum, I think gay is the wrong word for this thing. It's like the
awkward.
Your femininity
to
is broken and why thing. I mean, and that's a terrible thing to say because it's not like people who do
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm hearing you think it through. And
I'm not succeeding.
No, but it's helping me understand what you mean.
That, like, I don't know, because I feel like I've always been friends with a lot of people who would identify with Jo March for different reasons.
For sure. I know a ton of people
and that, like, a lot of people March. That are just sort of like, I only wear clothes that feel comfortable, and I don't
like
want
to read books.
And I want to read books, and I want to be, like, you know, and I feel stifled by femininity in some way.
Yep.
And then other people who are queer.
Well, that's the way that I think that
and I think that's how most
people read the book.
Right.
Yeah,
and so I guess what I'm saying is that this interpretation, like, makes that choice. Is like, reason why everybody thinks Joe's
acting like a boy. Well, no
one
is making
the
queer choice that we are making.
Right. But this, like, makes it much more hardcore. Instead of there's, like, a tomboy choice, there's, like, a...
Sure.
There's, like, this other choice that we've talked about before of, like, well, who wouldn't want to have the full range of human activities available to them? So if your gender role is restrictive, you seem like a boy because you just want to be...
You just want equality.
You just want equality.
Yeah,
so that's, like,
respect.
Another choice.
Yeah.
And then there's this other... And then there's, like, the queer choice, but there's this other thing that's just, like... Oh, that poor person can't even figure out how to do it.
Mm.
Which I think is what this movie is sort of saying, is like,
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Any comments from the peanut gallery on that?
No, just nods.
Yeah. Just nods. Okay. I'm with you. I get that. What other things do we have to talk about? I just saw a note that I wrote, Mr. Brooke, terrifying hairline.
I have some more fashion choices to call out.
Oh, by all means.
I would say a highlight, tiny parasol.
Oh, absolutely. Bring back tiny umbrellas.
I think we need them. I think
I'm going to Google them later
Google
tonight.
Tiny umbrella.
I'm going to get
you
us
know
one.
I'm carrying one.
Yeah, buy
it. Is there
buy
like an Amazon Prime version? Is there like...
I'm sure. Give it a Google right now.
Can we have it by tomorrow?
Right.
Yeah.
Overnight
tiny umbrella.
Within the next 3 hours, you will get it by Wednesday for free.
I also would like to be... Do you have more fashion? I'm sorry.
Oh, well, highlight tiny parasol, low light stegosaurus hat.
Oh my God.
That is a low light.
That
was amazing.
I would wear it.
There was so... You would wear it?
I would wear any hat, basically.
Oh my God! Well,
that was a sushi hat.
I mean, so I think I wrote down Amy's Dino Sushi Armadillo hat.
Yeah, accurate.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. It was attention drawing and
for all the
attention
wrong slash right
receiving. Attention receiving. Yeah, for sure. Yes, that I think that was a highlight.
For really, I would not.
I would not
deeply distracted by it.
I was super distracted by it, but it gave it's noteworthy enough for us to talk about
it
in excess right now.
I just have Amy's dinosaur hat.
Okay, yeah. I wrote Dino Sushi Armadillo hat.
There you go.
Okay.
You had something important you wanted to say though. I'm done with talking about clothes.
First of all, I would like to bring back a couple phrases that I heard in tonight's film.
Oh, I have an idea where you're going with this.
Because it's the word
from Aunt March?
No. Oh, maybe? Blunderbuss?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Joe says that.
Blunderbuss.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
I'm such a blunderbuss.
Yeah. Hashtag blunderbuss. Bring it back.
Yeah, trend it. Trend it right now, everybody.
FYI, you know that we don't tweet, but do it on your own.
Those of you that tweet can
tweet. Yeah, go ahead.
Why don't you guys have a Twitter?
We don't tweet. Sorry.
We're bad people.
Because
do you need me to be in your social media?
Yes.
Okay.
They clearly do. Like, this one doesn't even with the Facebook, and then nothing with the
You guys don't have a Facebook?
No. We don't actually, this doesn't exist yet.
So, on your social media...
We just have Joe's computer.
We have my computer,
okay.
We have our
when
love
it,
for Little
when
Women.
When you're actually ready to launch it, like, legit, let me know.
Okay, great.
I'm at your
place. Awesome.
They're
wonderful.
Yeah, I can tell.
The thing about Blunderbuss, first of all, it has the word blunder in it, so it just sounds like, you know, oh, you messed it up.
Yep.
Second of all, a Blunderbuss is like an old school, old-timey gun. Right?
Oh, really?
Like an early gun. But it was like not good at aiming.
Oh.
It was like
so
not
sometimes
rifle.
Did it backfire in your face?
I don't know that it backfired in your face, but it was just like a sort of like an unreliable, shitty gun, like pre-musket. And I think they would just put, it's like the ones with the really big bell front, you know?
Mm.
Like it's like opening out. And they would just put like random shit that they found lying
like bananas
in there. No, like little bits of nails and rocks and sometimes bananas. And then they would shoot something in the mic. But it was just like, it was this like, oh, fuck it. We don't have any bullets. We'll just pack the blunderbuss full of, like, random metal crap that we can find. And then it'll just, like, spray shot at people. It was, like, really ineffective.
Amazing. Let's bring it back.
So I thought it was super descriptive.
How did Joe use it? How did he use it?
I'm such a blunderbuss. Look what a blunderbuss I am.
Oh, so like a fuck up?
It's like a fuck up.
Oh, okay. Great. I'm there.
Are you looking at tiny parasol? No, some other.
We're working on parasols.
Okay.
Okay,
great.
What was that thing that Aunt March kept saying?
What was the thing that you kept on repeating throughout the movie? You kept saying something. Oh, balls or something like that.
Bilge.
Yeah, it was like, when Maggie's reaction to something was like, oh, barf, but then actually the character was like, bilge. And it was like, oh, so it worked like the same as sort of like, oh, barf. It was like, oh, bilge.
What are you?
Like, yeah.
What's a bilge?
It's
is like that
like
ball, a, your ball
like
sack?
The,
oh.
No.
Yeah, it's your ball sack.
I thought it was like a bilge.
You're
that's
not,
bone.
No.
That would make the movie so much better if Joe just was like, oh, ball sack.
It's like in a ship, the
you're
bilge.
In a 1933 movie.
Oh,
Catherine
Hepburn.
Oh,
it's not that.
Would you like to tell us
what is it?
It's, I don't know. It's,
there's
I know,
a thing
like,
in your hand.
Like,
tell
I know
anything.
It will,
no,
but
like,
I'm busy with
like
the parasol.
It's like where the rose water is on a boat.
Yeah, it's like the...
It's the bilge.
Ships have like bilge tanks that like help them float higher or lower, and they have water in them. And like,
okay.
That's how they spread all the invasive species throughout the...
Oh, cool. Thanks. That's great.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a ball sack.
A ball sack of the ship.
The ball. When you Google
oh
bilge,
God.
It just gives you the definition of the
I'm
ball
gonna,
sack.
I'm
going to
do a
ship.
Google image search on bilge right now.
Oh, my God.
Avert your eyes.
Safe search.
It is the lowest compartment.
The lowest compartment.
All right.
Yeah.
So, you remember when Amy said she had, or Beth said she had queer feelings all over?
Yeah.
And that was her symptom of scarlet fever.
And you're like, oh.
That's my symptom of every day.
Symptom of life.
Yep. Oh, I wrote Lori comforting Joe when Amy first got, or Beth first got
mm-hmm.
sick was creepy and predatorish.
Was that the scene where their faces were way too close together?
That was the director's There was one point where Sarah and I both at the same time went, too close! Like, we were just, because the faces are just way closer than feels okay.
Yeah. It's just not okay.
Well, no, this was the scene right when Beth was sick and he said that I sent for Marmy. You're thinking of the proposal scene when their faces were like, basically were nose
And Joe
kissing.
Was crying and
yeah.
then Lori was
and
like,
he was like,
don't worry, I'll be here for
I'll
you.
Take care of you.
Oh, look, you're so sad.
I'm
let me
gonna,
take advantage.
Let me prey on your weakness.
It was gross. I wanted to know that Joe was doing a creepy, like, finger stroking thing to my arm while saying that.
That's correct.
Oh, speaking of words we're bringing back.
Yeah, bilge.
Addy Taddy.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's
what I was in.
Yep.
That's the Aunt March one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Addy Taddy.
Oh, Addy by the Taddy. Way, we're going to talk about Aunt March.
Yeah.
Look.
She sounds like the Wicked Witch of the West.
She does. But we did check. I Googled it, and it was
not a different actress.
But it must be a thing about, like...
That
the,
period, because the...
The crabby old lady character.
Wizard of Oz came out, like... 5 years later,
really?
6 years after this, yep.
Wow.
It sounds like she's about to say,
and your little dog, too.
Yeah.
And
your teddy, and your little dog, too.
In some of the other adaptations, she does have a dog. Wait, did she have a dog in this one?
There was no dog.
Oh, there was just the bird?
No, there was a dog. She had,
oh,
like,
she
this weird, fluffy white dog,
and she threw it
on the ground.
Oh, yeah, she threw it across the room.
And
oh,
they didn't
right.
have that thing at the end that said no animals were harmed in it.
So it was a real dog.
Well, you notice there's, like, no credits in old-timey movies.
Right.
It's just like, these are the 7 people that were in this movie. The end.
No one else made it. No one else is involved.
But speaking, so if we're talking about the queering, what does it mean about, like, what about Aunt March and femininity and like and like becoming a crone, right? Or becoming, you know, like she was, it's like, oh, when you get to a certain age and you're Aunt March and she They don't, in the book, does she have a husband? And
they don't
then,
really
like,
go into her backstory. That's a good question.
Or whatever, but like she's just like the aunt that everybody loves to hate, you know?
Yeah.
And, but she has all this money, so they have to,
yep.
you know, stay close to her. And, but like, it's like that when you get that phone call from the, like, the elder relative that you don't really want to talk to. And you're like, ooh. Yeah, it's like, anyway, but what does that portrayal mean about, like,
yeah. Well, and interesting, too, because at the end of the film, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry you're alone, Joe, and you're alone, and everything is
oh,
horrible.
Right.
And what, blah, but Aunt March is alone the whole movie.
Well, and think about, like, so if we're thinking about elder women, what about the difference between
Hannah
and Aunt March?
Two single
right?
older
two,
women.
Right, two, like, single
yes.
older women.
Yeah, no one says
and
that
like,
to Hannah either, because
nobody's
Hannah's...
like, oh, Hannah, you're
like,
alone.
You're
they're
poor,
like, no,
no
you're
cares.
Fine. You have us to take care of. It's great. You're fine.
Right.
And then Aunt March, you're fine.
Which
you're
is
rich.
Class.
It's fine.
Right.
Right, like...
So you're poor, it's fine to be alone. You're rich, it's fine to be alone. You're kind of in the middle, so you better get married.
Right.
That's weird.
And you're not
yeah.
old yet, so you don't have, like, a place... Right? Like,
right.
it's like, if you, once you get old, then there's, like, a... There's a compartment for that, like, an old single woman, but, like, a
right.
young single woman. Like, because we can put that somewhere, right? Then
it's
you can even be... Right? But if you're a young single woman, like,
right.
what is that?
Let's...
There was a moment, though, when I thought... It's been a long time since I've read the book, so I didn't remember, but there was a moment when... at the beginning when Joe and Lori first met and they were like, oh, my aunt's this way and oh, my grandpa's this way. I was like, oh, maybe they're going to get those two together. And it's going to be a cool moment.
There was a moment that I thought that that Marmy and Mr. Lawrence had a moment.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
yeah.
I was like, ooh, this
oh,
is getting a little...
she's like, thank you so much. Right before she went to see Father.
Right.
Whoa.
Right.
Right.
And
she's
they,
like,
and
I the, just can't even thank you.
Yeah. And they kind of like had a moment that I thought was really awkward. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's...
Yeah, and I was trying to remember. I was like, did Father die in Kingdom Man? I couldn't remember.
Right, yeah, see? It was definitely casting.
No, Father came back in a very long coat.
Yeah, and then immediately disappeared.
Yeah, he was a non-entity.
After the zombie walk.
The zombie walk, he disappeared.
Right, yeah, the zombie
it's
walk.
It's interesting walk. How in this story that the Father is such, like, he's not
oh.
a character at all.
I'm reading an entire book right now about Louis May Alcott and Lou's father
mm-hmm.
and the interaction between the two of them just because of that. Because I know that Louis May Alcott had a like really intense relationship, like close relationship with Bronson Alcott. However, he's completely absent
There's
from
no
Lou's most famous book. Right.
Yeah.
And like why the fuck is that? So I mean I only just started reading it, but it's so far it's fascinating. It's all about mostly just about like Bronson's life up until this point. But they have a lot of creepy things in common. Like they were both born on the same day.
Oh.
Yep. They both have the same birthday, which they're Sagittarius. It's like November 29th or something. And then they both died like just a couple days apart.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a family member like that you kind of feel like you're destined to become like them?
My mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Hands down. No question. I am my mother already. Just queer.
Really?
I'm just queerer.
Just queerer. You're
queer. I'm my mother and queerer.
Yeah.
but like growing up, I look like when you look at pictures of like me in third grade and my mom in third grade, look the same.
Oh,
like,
I don't look like my mom.
So that was like always a thing. And then my sisters both look like my dad.
I did think it was refreshing though, even though it's older. that the men are just like. They're more like plot devices.
Yeah. Oh, for
whereas
sure.
Whereas everything, like, it's so hard to not find female characters that aren't plot devices nowadays, so that was nice.
Yeah.
Well, and how many movies do you think there were in 1933 that, like, had, like, the men as the side story? Like,
yeah, like,
not many.
Father only existed to, like, be absent.
Well, there's
like,
not that many now,
right?
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I have another thing I want to talk about. Let's talk about Bear and his favorite catchphrase for Joe.
Ugh, my little friend.
Is he talking about his penis?
Bilge. Bilge.
I was wondering, I should Google this. If, like, what, because he's from German, right?
Yeah.
What my little friend in German? Is that, like, the thing that people say?
Because that is French. In French, you say, like,
petit
ami is like my
yeah,
girlfriend
like,
or boyfriend, but it just means my little friend. In German, when I took German in high school, they taught us that you just say my friend, but you say it like kind of with your
eyebrows.
Well, I'm just wondering if it's like, you know how if you call somebody like hun, or you say, if it's a word like that in German. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
I don't think so.
There'll be comments on this.
I feel like, I feel like that may or may not be true, but the likelihood that that's what they were going for in the actual movie, you know what I mean? Like, even like, I feel like that would be convenient for us for now if that actually were true, but I feel like the people who were making the movie, were they really trying to think like, oh, he's German, so I guess he would call her my little friend?
I mean, maybe.
I feel like
they might have a dramaturg.
Yeah.
A dramaturg.
People love dramaturgs. No, they don't. No one likes dramaturg.
No one likes a dramaturg.
Wow.
I'm going to Google it.
Okay.
Yep, I just have so many things about Joe being, like, overly feminine that pissed me off. But the seductive lean on the piano.
Lori saying, like, breaking your promise, that's just like a girl.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that down.
Just like a girl, can't keep an agreement. What the
fuck?
Fuck just, like,
that.
Random casual misogyny from Lori.
Yeah, I'm telling you that, like, the whole way that their relationship was depicted in this was really,
you're right,
it was ineffective, and I think that it didn't make me feel like Joe and Lori were really friends, or that she was really mourning a friendship. I feel like she was just mourning companionship, which is totally fucking different.
And kind of sad.
And that's what she said at the end too.
Well, that, and yeah,
it was like, oh well, I don't want to be alone, because maybe Joe said, maybe I'd have said yes because it means more to me to be loved now.
That was really interesting, that whole interaction with Meg. Like, what Joe was saying to Meg at the end, it was like trying to kind of wrap something up, but it like didn't work for me at all. Like, she also said, well, maybe I don't feel any different, but if he came back now, I probably would say yes to him.
Right.
You know, just because
it means more to
me
to love.
It means more to me to be loved now.
Maybe,
yeah.
Because all my family members start every conversation with me by saying, you must be so lonely, you must be so alone. I'm so sorry you're alone.
Yeah.
And including the conversation that she said that in.
Yeah.
You to bear everything all alone. That's what I wrote.
And Meg, like, I have so much and
you're
so alone.
I know. Come on. Come on, Meg.
Meg would not say that.
No. Meg isn't that bitchy. Amy would say that. And she did later.
Yeah, they both do.
Okay, Beth's death scene.
Underwhelming.
So underwhelming.
And the fake-out death? What was up with that fake-out death? Where they, like, Meg and Joe clearly both thought that Beth was dead, and then the doctor was just like, oh no, she's asleep.
Yeah, her fever broke.
Well, I knew
that. I figured that out. But
I thought it was a weird...
I thought it was a weird way to
psych out.
Show that. Yeah, for sure. But I thought that I thought it was interesting. I always think it's interesting those different ways that they phrased that last conversation with Beth and Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this one, in one of the earlier chapters that we read, one of the Beth chapters, I think, she talks about, there's that foreshadowing paragraph that I read in a previous podcast that was about, like, Beth being the cricket on the hearth and it being, like, and it's so tender.
Mm-hmm.
And she quotes that. Beth quotes that in her death scene about how she's just, like, a little cricket on the hearth and she's not, like, a big seagull like you or whatever the fuck she says. And then, but yeah, in general, it was very underwhelming. And then I thought the grossest part was when she did really die. And then she's like, Joe is comforting Marmy and says, oh, she's not in pain anymore. She's where she should be or whatever.
And no, Marmy, we can't cry. Don't cry.
Yeah.
We have to be happy because Beth is well
that's
now.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, that was
that's
super
bullshit.
That's like such a thing they always say. So,
yeah.
Like, that's like every movie.
Is that what movies
like,
are
it's
like?
Just like a thing.
It's a cliche, yeah.
It's a total cliche.
Don't
like,
cry.
Oh, don't cry. A sick person died. That's really great. Because now they're not suffering anymore, so don't cry. Or they'll say, you know, like, they wouldn't want you to be sad. Well, I'm going to be sad for a minute now, okay?
So give
me a fucking minute.
My fucking sister's lying in the bed 5 feet
from
me.
No, my fucking daughter.
Yeah,
my fucking
daughter
just died.
Right. Yeah, like,
but that also, I think that really shows, like, it does, I think it's true to the sort of the relationship between the daughters and Marmee. Like they're all like, you know, don't ever be sad. Let us take care of you. You know, like
right.
It's like, you know,
and
it's not
opening,
surprising that she would say that, even though it's gross.
And the opening scene, Marmee is doing that, Bilge. Marmee is doing like, oh, I feel so bad about myself for ever being sad because that guy
lost his son. That's that scene that was in the book that
we
were puking about.
Super bilgy. Yeah.
Super bilgy. The bilgiest. Oh, briefly, let's just touch on the play.
Oh my gosh. Did you notice how rapey the play was until you saw this movie? Because I did not.
No, I didn't. I don't remember thinking it was rapey in the book.
I don't know. It may be that, and we just didn't notice it. But in this interpretation, it was absolutely like, be afraid, there's this guy talking about how you're going to be punished for not loving him, and he's going to come and make you marry him now. It was super scary and awful.
Yeah. Well,
I'm always interested in why in adaptations how much screen time is devoted to whatever they decide to adapt.
Sure.
And that was a lot of screen time devoted to that play.
Yeah.
And I didn't know why. What were we learning?
Right.
What were we trying to portray?
And what things were cut because of that? Like Amy burning the manuscript.
Holy shit, they didn't even do anything.
Yeah,
the
or the she falls through the ice.
Shit.
Or like anything with Joe and Laurie being friends, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing that they spent so much time on was, what's the professor at the end? She ends up
there.
Playing the effing piano.
Oh, yeah.
In German, then in English, then with the swooning, and on the... That took so much... I was so bored, but I'm just like...
I think you were just supposed to be looking at Katharine Hepburn and like...
I just feel like,
Oh, Katharine.
What a neck.
So much screen time.
Well, and I think that that's kind of maybe the pace at which movies were in that era, that they... I'm not an expert in film. I don't fucking know.
I mean... When we have talked about the play scenes in the book, we've seen them as, like, the time when Joe gets to be a boy.
Could be a boy. And Joe was playing both the boy characters in this.
But I don't know that that was really, like,
well, I know. I really felt like they were trying to over-feminize Joe. So everything that he did was supposed to be, like, super femmed up and, like, just supposed to be made more awkward instead of queer, you know?
But so then why the play, what Sarah's saying? What was the point of the play in this movie?
I think probably because, like, a lot of, like Joe writing those sensational stories at that time, just like Lou wrote those sensational stories at that time, I think that it wasn't that far removed in 1933 that moviegoers didn't want to see that kind of crap. And so them seeing that would then, like, it's something that they want to see. It's part of, like, something that they want included. That's my guess, but I don't know.
I guess it is part of the storyline of Joe becoming a writer also.
Sure.
It's like Joe's
Although
early
it's
writing.
Totally cuttable. I mean,
and
I...
Also, like, Joe's...
Because the fucking manuscript is too.
Right.
Joe's the only one that acts. Like, that knows how to act. Like of the... Like, that they sort of play that up in the beginning.
Yeah.
That, like, Joe actually can act. And so then it's like... Versus the rest of them are sort of playing... at it, right?
Sure.
It's just like, but yeah, it doesn't add, they could have spent some time on Joe and Laurie's relationship, you know, like,
for example,
instead of all of that time. Although I was kind of into it, like, the play, like, I kind of got drawn into that piece, like, where,
I mean,
during the play,
charming.
Like, it was really fun to watch, and
yeah.
Maybe it was just like, this
yeah.
is a really fun scene, we don't want to cut it, you know? Like,
sure.
And then they had maybe ice cream.
Yeah, it looked like whipped cream to me, but who knows? Laurie says that he forgot Joe was a girl at one point.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
When they were wrestling, yeah. And like, oh, I forgot you were a girl.
Yeah. Do you really hate Laurie that much?
I hated Laurie in this movie.
The Laurie in this movie, because
I
don't hate Laurie.
No.
I hate the Laurie in this movie for sure.
I haven't read the book in a while, as I said multiple times. But I remember like really liking Laurie when I read the book.
Yeah,
no, I like Laurie too.
Yeah, and being upset that he ended up with Amy. In this movie,
Me
he was
too.
Terrible.
He really was.
Really,
it was
really
like
they deserved
right.
each other.
Yeah. He was very selfish and very like like when he was comforting Amy after her fucking sister died, and he says, "Now you can be a comfort to me."
Yeah. Oh, like, hell no!
Super gross.
Excuse, yeah, bilge.
Bilge. Blunderbuss.
Yeah.
What a fucking blunderbuss.
What a blunderbuss.
Yeah, that was not. And the whole thing, like, he was just very, like, grabby towards Joe all the time and, like, in her face. Well, everyone was in
the face. I wonder if there's something about, like, that's just, like, how, what the expectation was for how men needed to be portrayed at that time, right? Like, that's just, like, men have to be misogynist assholes, like, that's just...
Yeah, probably.
And so, like, why would we portray him any other way than being sort of, like, this grabby, misogynist, self-centered asshole? Even though, in the book, he's much more complex. Like, but it's, like, we need to, like, you know, if we're gonna adapt this and simplify it, then that's who men are, and so...
Right. Well, and I think it, you know, just the way that Joe speaks too about gender roles in this adaptation is not at all the way that Joe speaks about it in the book. I think Joe in the book is much more defiant of those things, and this way it's kind of like it's like playing at being defiant. It's not really defiant. Like,
I think it's back to what Maggie was saying about, like, oh, I guess I'm just no good at being a girl. Right? Like, it's kind of that, like,
but it's not
I'm
even,
just really awkward.
But it's also, like, buying into that binary belief in such a way, like, when Joe brings Lori the kittens and says, I know boys don't like kittens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, like, that type of thing. Like Joe in the book would never say something like that.
I mean, I don't know if we should talk about the book too much, but Joe in the book does say something like, there is, like, a funny Joe and Lori discuss what boys and girls are like. In that scene,
when they're yelling at each other between
the
windows.
Yeah, there's something like, oh, boys will come up and you know, be rowdy and make me sick. And Joe's like, oh, you should have a girl come up. We're nice and quiet, which is kind of like a joke, maybe, in the book. Like, it's possible that that could be.
But then there's
like,
still like a whole underlying of like Joe continually transgressing gender.
Sure.
While in this, it was just kind of like. It was set up that he was supposed to be transgressing gender, but then wasn't really following through.
Yeah, it was super inconsistent.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, it was discussed, but not shown. I see what you mean. I get that.
And it was really only set up in the beginning, and then from then on, you see him in these, like, fancy dresses with big collars, and, like, really, and it's like, no. Yeah.
And clearly when Joe is, like, grown enough to choose what Joe is wearing, you know, like... Like,
yeah.
With the collar and with the,
right.
You know, like, is off in New York, like...
No.
Not really the choices Joe would have been making.
Yeah, right.
Like, to hang around the house and listen to Bear play piano. Like, the itchy collar. I doubt it.
I doubt it. I highly doubt it. Joe couldn't afford a dress like that. I mean, where is he going to get that money? He doesn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they they would say, like, we don't have any money. But then
it wasn't really depicted in any sort of way.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, you notice, like, it would make sense for Amy to look nicer as she got older because she's hanging out with Aunt March, so Aunt March is probably getting her stuff, and then she marries Lori, and he's probably getting her stuff. But the rest of them should all look like shit the entire time. I mean, they should all look like...
They should just be wearing simple clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
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 That's true. Yeah, they didn't really discuss class.
No, not at all. Yeah.
I think, like, the verdict on this movie, Little Women, not queered.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
definitely
right,
not
right,
queer.
Like, Little Women, unqueered. Like,
it's not... having seen many of the other depictions, I would not recommend this one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's worth it for the armadillo Fuji hat.
Well, that's a good point.
The tiny parasol.
Tiny parasol.
Tiny parasol was good. Well, there was only one
Catherine
tiny parasol
neck.
That I liked. Catherine Hepburn's neck, if you're a fan of Catherine Hepburn's neck.
And how can you not be?
Hashtag Catherine's neck.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the collar was about, right? That high collar.
I think that's what...
Neck.
I think that's what a lot of
decoration.
The seductive leading was about, too.
Oh, yeah.
Was I have a neck. I'm a brontosaurus.
Don't you want to neck me?
Yeah.
Just nuzzle in.
There was a moment... Okay, we were closing. But, like, the... when... Lori comes back after he's married to Amy, and everybody else goes to see, like, the twins and the kids, and he's like, yeah, I'm just gonna peel off and go see Joe by myself.
Right.
That's not weird. Sure. And then, like, goes up and sneaks up on her while she's napping. And then, like, there's, like, this really... There's a total neck nuzzle. Neck nuzzle.
Well, neck nuzzle. Neck nuzzle.
Like, and then everybody's like, we're home. And they're like, woo! And they, like, hop up, yeah, like, okay, did, great. Did. And I'm like...
Okay. Well, their faces are touching basically the entire movie.
Well, like, big talk, I can't...
Yeah.
I was going to show you. It doesn't work. It's but, hard. Like, how close you have to be. But, like,
inches
it's, like,
apart.
Nose is
inches.
Too close.
Is that just for the for movies, or were there different ideas of personal space bubbles at that time? Because there's also,
movie.
Like, there was also the... Somebody kisses Marmy on the mouth, like maybe Meg or...
No, Marmy kisses Joe on the mouth.
Marmy kisses Joe on the mouth. There was the Beth sitting on Mr. Lawrence's lap.
Oh, yeah. When I was reading the book, too, it's one of those things that, like, I have to suspend disbelief or, like, be with the time when I'm reading that type of thing, because I do go to these, like, creepy pedophile-y thoughts. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's not, you know, whatever. And then I have to be like, no, this is sweet, this is innocent, this is 1860.
Yeah,
because
I think that there are things that we kind of touch that we consider sexual that probably weren't considered sexual in that culture.
Perhaps.
Maybe neck nuzzle was just a friend thing.
It's a common thing. I mean, I think the like, I noticed the close face talking the most between Joe and Lori.
Yeah.
And to me, that's them amping up Joe and Lori romance.
Super good.
It's not amping up Joe and Lori best friendship.
No.
For sure. Mm-hmm. It's setting them up to be like, oh, you guys are going to fuck. Like, that's what it's about.
Yeah. I think they went with the choice that Lori had a crush on Joe from day one. That's what it seemed like to me in this particular movie. Instead
Take
of
a chance on me.
Yeah, instead of them having a friendship and then it coming, like, the crush coming out of that, it seems very much a second that he... That she waved her arms at him, and
he's
he saw
into
her.
That.
Yeah, he was all about that. He was like, "Yes, wave those arms."
Could you show me your neck again?
So it was harder because
head back.
Because they made that choice, it was harder to get behind. And so that's how I think why you ended up with your reading of Joe's pining is because. It didn't the crush didn't come out of friendship on his end.
Right.
So the friendship aspect was
It was squashed and it was they were playing
in favor of
this
romance.
Unspoken romance that was never going to come
Although,
to fruition.
I have to say when you just said like they were playing up that they were gonna fuck. The thing is, I didn't get a sense that anybody in this movie was ever gonna fuck. Even like where they're trying to make things romantic, I was like, it was like so chaste.
No,
like the romance
true.
Was
that's
so
true.
Chaste. Like
that's
there's
true.
Not for a minute that I believe that like Lori and Amy are ever gonna fuck, or even that the two that had twins ever fuck. Like,
twins,
right?
Like, what about
it's
all those lounging? When he's playing the piano.
That's the closest
and
that
she's just like,
to seduction they're ever going to come.
Right.
And she's like, my soul is devoured with fire.
Right, but then I'm not like thinking like these two going to get, like, the there wasn't the fire between the
characters,
right?
No, that's true.
Right?
It seemed
like
Joe
like
was
showing
horny
up,
and wanted to get laid.
Yeah.
But maybe not necessarily by Bear.
Yeah.
Okay, should we call it? Should
All
we
right.
call it?
I think this is it. So... Thank you for joining us on this episode of Queering Little Women, the episode 8, talking about the 1933 adaptation of Little Women.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can always email us at queeringlittlewomen@gmail.com, and hope you listen again next week.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Belgium.